Good to be here tonight. It's good to see all of you out. As Tim had already said, for this theme this week, we've been saying that we've had for the theme, I am resolved. And I mentioned the other night, how do you measure resolve but in people? And it's not like we can take a car and take the dipstick and measure the oil in the car. We can't measure resolve like that. But we know that there's some people that has more resolve than others. They have determination. And it seems like it just kind of goes through their life with anything they do, they have this determination. And Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians 9:27 about himself. And he says, I keep under my body. I bring it into subjection. And I believe, now this is my humble opinion, that is one of the key verses in the Bible. That if we will do that, that we will control our body. We will make our body our slave. And say to ourselves, whatever it is that's right, you're going to do what is right. You're going to give up the wrong and do what is right. Now tonight I want to talk to you about the subject of the they family. You may know some families that you wouldn't mind being kin to at all. In fact, I remember several years ago, one is passed on and the lady has two, but there was two men in our town named Cecil Yarba, and I knew them both. And I wondered if they were kin to each other. And so one day I asked Ms. Yarba, the older Ms. Yarba, if they were kin to Cecil Yarba, the other one. And she said this, no, but I wish we were. And I thought, what a good answer for my, I guess, rude question, because I thought they were. Surely they are, because Yarba's not that common a name. But she says, no, but I wish we were. But friends, we're going to talk about a family tonight, if you want to call it that, that you don't want to be a member of. I don't want to be a member of this family, but it's very scary today in our world. And in fact, I believe in the church, how things are becoming and how which way things are going. Now we know God's got a line. And we know about that line, whether it's right and whether it's wrong. But sometimes we're not careful. We want to move the line. And we want the line to be moved over. Because we may not like what the Bible says about a subject. And we may even have somebody that even agrees with us on whatever it is that we want to do. And how do we want to believe? Now we're warned about this in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4. As Paul said there, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word. And friends, you can rest assured that you and I are under that charge today. Whether you publicly preach or however you do it, you must tell it. You must tell it like it is. You have no choice. Well, you do have a choice, but if you want to save your soul, you must tell it like it is. He says, preach the word. Be instant. Or be ready in season, out of season. Repute, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. And then he uses a key word, doctrine. You can't change the doctrine, Timothy. You be ready with the doctrine. And then he says, for the time will come, W-I-L-L, when they will not endure sound doctrine. No more. No more. I will not accept it anymore. Recently, our president declared that he was in favor of same-sex marriages. If there's ever been a worse thing that he or any sitting president has ever said, I don't know what it is. Has you not read about Sodom and Gomorrah? Has you not read about Paul's letter to the church at Rome? Has you not read about this? Does he not know what the Bible says? Do we know what it says? Or do we even care anymore? A man told me recently, I didn't see this, he saw this. But they had this on television where they had, I think it's 14 couples. All men and women, couples. You know, just regular married people like we are. And they had one, though, that was planted in these 14 couples. This couple was planted to ask and to take the other side because they thought it might go this way. And 13 of these couples said it's okay. Now, this other couple didn't agree. And these other couples, these all 13 of the others, all jumped on them, so to speak. We can't believe that you won't let people just live like they want to and marry who they want to. He said it was so unbelievable. Even though they were married, men and women, themselves. But they felt like it. If that's what you want, that's okay. If that's what they want, that's okay. How do we feel about things like this? Do we feel like that? That we can move the line over about some things? What did he say? He said the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Who is they here? Is it the world? I don't think so, do you? Well, you say, preacher, the world has never accepted sound doctrine as a whole. But has the church got to a point where the church will no longer accept sound doctrine? Do you think this is just in here to fill up space? Do you think this is just in here for Paul just to put something in the book? We know it's not. We know it's here for a warning for us today. We know it's here. When more and more people won't endure sound doctrine. Friends, I know. The truth has never been popular. I know that. And you probably know that too. As you think back in the Bible, in the days of Noah, out of the whole wide world, only 8 people were saved. Only 8 people. Do you remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah? As God told Abraham, he's going to destroy it. He said, I'm going to destroy it. And Abraham asked, and he said, will you destroy the just with the unjust? Will you save it for 50? God said, okay. And Abraham said, for 45. God said, okay. For 40, for 30, for 20, and finally for 10. Oh Lord, will you save it? And God said, I will. He sent angels there. You remember that story we found in Genesis chapter 19? 2 angels came to Sodom at even. And they came to Lot's house. And there was these men of the city. Listen to this. And before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young. All the people from every quarter, and they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men that came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot said, don't do so wickedly. He said, in fact, it's so sad what he said. I've got 2 daughters. You can have them. No, we don't want those daughters of yours. We want those men. Oh, how sad it got to be in that city. In that place, Sodom. And we know about that. We read about that. It's a widely known story. And yet today, my friends, what do we want to hear? In Isaiah chapter 30, in verse 9, he said this. This is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Did you ever, in all your life, you go to church and you think, boy, old preacher, he preached some smooth things today, and I just feel so good about myself. And have you ever gone to church and the preacher preached some things and got on your toes pretty hard? Came out of the book. And you went home and you thought, boy, I didn't enjoy that today. Friends, what do we need? Have you ever wondered? Have you ever thought about how Jesus' teachings were? Did you ever think about how pointed he was? How direct he was? You generations of snakes, he once said. You generations of vipers. But you know that he loved them. And you know that by his teachings, they rejected him. They didn't accept him. The long ago, Isaiah said it was that way also. Tell us smooth things. Prophesy deceit. Get you out of the way, they said. Turn aside out of the path. Cause ye, Holy One of Israel, to cease from before us. In other words, I don't want God telling me what to do. I don't want God. I don't want to face God. I don't want Him in my way. I want to live my life as I please. I want to be able to move this line over. And I want to live in the gray area. You believe that? Do you believe there's really a gray area? Oh, no. Not at all. Friends, you can't cross. You can't move that line. It cannot be moved. You will someday be judged by your life. And in fact, Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Knowing the terror of God, we persuade men. In Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1. We're warned there. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Friends, what is it? Okay, what is it in your life, if anything, that you know, that you feel like, it's in that area right there. You don't feel good about it. You don't feel good about it. And yet you keep on living that way. What if it was in Judgment Day He tells you just one thing and you knew better and you would not give it up? You would not quit. I read one time where this man went to see this preacher and he said, "Preacher, I've got a problem." He said, "What is it?" He said, "I've got a girlfriend and you know I'm married also." And the preacher said, "You've got to give her up. The girlfriend has got to go." He said, "Preacher, I've cried and I've tried and I've cried and I've tried and I cannot give her up. I cannot do it. I cannot walk away from her." The preacher said, "Yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. And you've got to do it." See, friends, what happens in life so many times, we start moving this line and we start doing some things that we know we shouldn't be doing. And then it gets further and further from the truth. So many things in our world today, it goes on. Winning teaching. There's not much said about winning teaching much anymore, is there? But friends, God's words still stand true. And Paul said in his letter to Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 11, "Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over a man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed in Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression." So he even tells a reason there for that to be there. But has that changed? And we know women can teach privately. We know that by an example in the Bible. But a woman can never, cannot ever teach publicly. And she cannot usurp authority over the man. That's the way the book has it. Let me tell you, friends, tonight, it will always work perfectly. Just like He sets up the marriage, the man and the woman. It always will work perfectly. He tells a husband to be head of the family, to be head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church. The woman to be in submission to her own husband. And friends, that will always work. And don't ever try to make it work any other way. You can't move the line. You can't change God's word. It's so important that we know what the Bible says. In Peter's letter, in 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter is talking here about Paul. He's talking about, he calls him our beloved brother Paul. And he says in verse 16, "is also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood." Peter admitted that. Peter said that. They're hard to be understood. And then he says this, "which they that are unlearned and unstable rest or twist." Unlearned and unstable, they twist the Scripture. They twist what God has said. Friends, you have got to study for yourself. And please, please, don't try to get around what is there. Accept it for just what it says. In 1 Timothy 2, in verse 9, In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Do you think that has changed today in our society? Do you wear modest dress? Do you? Well, I do to church, but what about that on the go? In your swimming pool? Do you wear modest dress? Do you think that does not apply to you all the time, sisters, when you're out in public? That you adorn yourselves in modest apparel? And let me say this to you tonight. As Paul told Timothy, preach the word. We best all preach the word. That's right. You mothers and you daddies and you grandparents or whoever you are, your children, you always preach the word. Tell people just what the book says. Tell them about their life and what they're doing and what they should be doing. Women, adorn yourselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearl or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Do we not accept that anymore? Have we got to be part of the they family? As Paul said, they will not endure sound doctrine. Sue and I were talking about this. And I said, Sue, what do you think it means by endure sound doctrine? What does that mean? They will not endure sound doctrine. Do you think that they went on for years and just kind of endured it? And now they no longer endure it? What do you think about that? Could you say that about yourself? That, you know, I have endured this for years, but now I'm just going to do my own thing and live my own way and live like I please. Because we can never be that way. We can never be that way. We must always listen to sound doctrine. And she was in agreement with me that she believed there were people that have over the years. They did listen. And there were Christians. And there were stable Christians. But they just get to a point they say, well, you know, I've heard so much against this, and probably what Peter says about even preachers have twisted the word to make it say something it does not say. Unlearned and unstable, they twist, they wrest the word. Friends, what does the Bible say? Please. We don't want to be part of this family. Be they family. I want to hear it like it is. Tell me now, okay? I want to hear it now so I can make my decision about my life. I think we would agree with that. Tell me like the book says. Let me read it for myself. I need to know today because I won't have another life to live to get ready. And you won't either. What about our talk? There are so many words today that are used that are unscriptural. And the Bible condemns things about what we say. And in Ephesians chapter 5, he says, but fornication and all uncleanness. Now, we didn't talk about fornication, but how do you feel about that? So many people living together before marriage, Just because others do it, does it make it right? No. It is still sin. And all uncleanness of covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becoming saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting. Foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient. Such things as racial jokes. It's not convenient. It's foolish talking. But rather, giving thanks. Gambling. Work honestly. Work for your wages. And then what about working? We need to realize what the Bible says about working. In 1 Timothy 5 and 8, 1 Timothy 5 and 8. Paul says here, but if any provide not for his own or for his own self, if you don't work and provide for yourself, and especially for those of his own house. Now, to me, he's saying it's more important to provide for your family than for yourself. And friends, I don't know, and I looked this up to see, if it's anywhere in the Bible, except here, that someone could be worse than an infidel. But here it is. Here it is. If you don't work and provide for yourself and for your family, he says you have denied the faith and you are worse than an infidel. But we can't move that line, can we, to somebody or for somebody. He also says in 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3 in verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Friends, we can't move that line. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. They will not endure sound doctrine, he said. They will not endure sound doctrine. In 2 Peter chapter 2. In verse 1. He's talking here about false prophets. And it says, but there were false prophets also, were also among the people, even as there should be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious or their immoral ways. And I believe that's what Paul is talking about in Timothy. When he said the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And I'm asking you tonight to personally think about this. Do I still accept sound doctrine? Am I willing to change my life as God's law demands that I do? As God's law tells me I must, if I expect to be saved someday. In Romans chapter 1, we're going to begin reading at verse 16. And Paul says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of that. Now, I would like for you in your mind tonight at this time to say that to yourself. That you're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And friends, let me tell you, in that gospel, there's that line. Just as sure as you're sitting there tonight, there's that line. And you can't move that line. You can't make it fit what you want it to say and what you want to hear. It's not going to change. It's not going to do that. God has got a way. And friends, we cannot change His way. What has happened to the old past, we might even say, as it was said years ago? What has happened to the old way, the old past? Paul says, I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed to preach it. I'm not ashamed to know it. I'm not ashamed to say it out loud. In fact, he said in Acts chapter 20, as he talked to the elders of the church at Ephesus there, he said, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Now, friends, I want you to carefully think about this. And I know in your life you have occasions to meet people, to talk to people. And can you say, with all sincerity, that you've always told them what the Bible says? You don't hold back. I know, they may not like it. They might not want to hear it. It may be your wife don't want to hear it, your husband don't want to hear it, your kids don't want to hear it. But can you say, as Paul says, I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I didn't hold it back. I poured it out. I gave it to you. He said in Galatians about those people there, he says, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth?" Again, he said in Galatians chapter 1, he says, "I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another." It's not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And listen to what else he said. Have you ever been called accursed? Listen to what he said. "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Because we best all remember that. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Friends, there's a line. There's a line. That old song says there's a line that is drawn by rejecting our God. There's a line. And we can't cross that line. We cannot move that line. And whatever it is about your life, it's not right. You change what is right. We hear so much today about divorce and remarriage. Friends, it doesn't matter. Your kids, my kids, my grandkids, your grandkids, whoever it is, me or you, whoever it is, it's not going to change God's law. You are married till death do you part. And as I had said before, Sue and I, we are one. We are super glued together. And nothing can break that glue together but death. That's right. That's the only thing that'll break it. And when you marry somebody, I remember years ago, I'm fixing to close. Brent and Sharon, our son. And his girlfriend then had been going together. Hung around the house with me one day. And I thought they got something to talk about. Finally, Brent said, "Daddy, me and Sharon want to talk to you." I said, "Okay." And a little bit awkward. I don't know why, but it was. He said, "Daddy, we're going to get married." I said, "Well, let's sit down. Let's talk." And I said, "Now you both know that this is to death do you part." They agreed. We know that. They know that. You know that, don't you? And when you're going to pick somebody to spend the rest of your time with, you stop and you look and you listen. Care for that person. They having trouble with a teacher? Not good. Having trouble at home? Not good. Not good. Not good. You stop and you think. Because this is till death do you part. Till death. And friends, you can't move that line. In closing, I want to read to you again what Paul said. And don't you think carefully about this family that you don't want to be a part of. You don't want to be a member of this family. And in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy he said, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead in His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word." Now friends, that applies to Wilbur Bass. And that applies to everyone here tonight. To preach God's word. Do not apologize for it either. Do not apologize for God's word. Be instant. In season, out of season. Reprove. Rebuke. Exhort. Reprove. Rebuke. You mean to say that Paul said that? He did. With all long suffering and doctrine, he said, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they gather a heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." He said they will get teachers to teach them things they want to hear. Just like we read to you in Isaiah. They said, "Tell us smooth things. Tell us things that we want to hear. Take God from in front of us. We don't want God in front of us." The time will come, he said, when they're not going to endure sound doctrine. "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth. And shall be turned unto fables." I plead with you tonight to examine your life. I plead with you tonight to read your own Bibles, to see what the book says. And when you see what it says, friends, don't try to get around it. Please accept it just like it is. Someday this book's going to be open. It's going to judge us all. Your mom, your dad can't speak for you on that day. Your kids can't speak for you. You'll speak for yourself. You'll give an account of your life. We have got to see the urgency of being ready. We've got to see it. We can't turn our back. We can't turn away. And we can't move the line. So stand and sing an invitational song. If you're not here and you're not a member of the church, we ask you to come tonight to be baptized. If you are a member, you've gone away, we ask you to come back tonight. Come back tonight. Confess your sins and ask to forgive us in prayer. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?